Blog Talk Radio.
What the fuck are they doing?
Regulators. We regulate any stealing of his property. We're damn good, too. But you can't be any geek off the street. You gotta be handy with the steel, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
Regulators! Mount up.
Gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Betting Window. I am your host, Evan Ronnie, and with me, as always,
the Zombie Master. Where you been, bitches?
Yep, as well as the Suncock will be joining us, and maybe Dustin, the Boston fan.
What, the Dustin at nerfherder.net or something? Or
double down and a half gallon of mayo.
.gov is government shit, bro. Come on.
I mean, have you ever heard of Bill Clinton?
Fair enough.
Because it's all about what your definition of jizz is.
I did not have... Okay.
Listen. You need to know what exit polling means. Hi, Bill. Here's a blue dress.
I could say so. If the jizz doesn't fit, you must quit.
Hi, Bill. Here's a blue dress for you. Oh, goody.
If the jizz doesn't fit.
If the dick don't fit, you're full of shit.
Goddamn. Anyway, for all the people listening and any new people.
Go, Johnny Cochran.
My neighbor might be listening because I talked to him and he knows we do sports betting if he's listening. Sorry, we do comedy here too, dude, so if you're listening.
Oh, well, try to.
Oh, hell no.
I think we succeed. It's just a matter of just wait till Ryan gets here.
I mean, it all depends on who's coming over.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
This is not, before you ask, this is not Joanna. This is her older uncle.
Hi, welcome to Chili.
Yeah, that's right. Welcome to Chili's. but if you want to know Joanna's more down here.
Oh, get back in your cage. Nobody called your ass.
Well, Raider Dave did last night.
Well, guess what? Raider Dave ain't here. Wait till he shows up. You got another hour before he shows up. So get back in your cage.
Oh, sweet baboo.
Ronnie, throw her a pack of cools and a steak. Get her back in her cage.
Listen. I already got my calls. They're already here. I had to bribe the warden with these.
There's a carton waiting for you. Get in your cage.
A carton? Where? All right. Fine. I gotta do extra for these. So I gotta go do some work with the warden. Bye.
But so you
cum guzzling thunder cunt. Get the fuck back in your cage.
Be like
half the other chicks in the WWE and get your job somewhere else.
Let's not go down that road. Let's not go down the WWE rabbit hole right now, because that's a dark place right now.
I mean, it depends on who you ask. If you ask everybody else, then it should be brought up on murder charges.
Well... Didn't Paul London come out and say something about the whole stuff with Ashley Massaro?
How much have I been saying since day one when Ashley got found dead that wasn't tied to WWE?
I mean...
Allegedly.
Let's, all seriousness, I mean, it's... I know we make jokes and stuff, but somebody did commit suicide on the WWE's watch. You know, I don't know if she was released or if she was still with the company at the time.
I'm going to say one thing. And people need to think about this. Scott Hall, God rest his soul too, was given 18 times to get clean by WWE's dime.
We won't talk about... We were just going to say she's been in and out.
of rehab for WWE's dime. Ashley Mazzaro never went to therapy under WWE's dime once. That we know of.
Well, yeah, like I said, you know, we don't know every superstar that's been reported in and out. Jake Roberts has been through the program. I think, what's his name? Billy Jack. Well, we won't get into him. Well, he's been offered it. He's denied it. He turned it down every time. Because, well, we could do a whole show on him. But no, it's like, I think Road Warrior Animal went through, no, not Animal, Hawk, I think went through
Hawk,
the program.
Hawk did.
Yeah, Hawk went through the program. Now, I mean, it's like, look, I respect WWE for the fact that they go out and they say, look, past, present, you know, if you have a problem, let us know. We're going to help you. You know, I'll give them that. But for certain people that were lost causes, i.e. Sunny, she is a lost cause. She is going to rot in jail for the rest of her life, where she deserves to be. I'm sorry. I knew that. I say that because someone who knew her outside of the business, she is where she needs to be. Just saying.
And I also know Ryan wants to talk about that video that he sent you today.
What video? He didn't send me any video today.
He should have sent you something. I believe sent something on Facebook or Twitter.
I didn't get any video today.
Okay, because it was about something about a mentally challenged kid not jumping a barricade, but being quote unquote part of the show and secured, and a security guard slamming him.
No, I didn't hear about that. Oh, so when he comes,
He'll explain it more.
Right. Yeah. But like I said, I'll check my Facebook now. I don't think I got anything from him.
You're better off probably checking your Twitter, because I think I also on mine, I retweeted it.
Let me see. Hold on. Twitter. I see a notification. I just have the notification from you for the show. I don't have any messages.
Okay.
Let me check on Twitter. Let me check Facebook.
When is the 23rd? Oh, we can do.
I don't have anything from.
All right, I'll send it. We'll talk about it later.
It to me later, and I'll check it later. I'm not gonna. But when it comes to the whole Ashley Mazzaro thing, I've met Ashley several times. I know you have too. You couldn't talk about a sweeter girl, you know, and the fact that this went on when we probably met her, this had already happened when we met her later on. The fact that she was living with this couldn't have been easy, you know, and for her to do, unfortunately, what happened, it's a tragedy. It should have never happened. And if it does come to light, I used the term if, then somebody needs to go to jail for that.
I mean, we do know there is reports of Vince saying when allegedly Ashley Mazzaro was raped during
one of the overseas tour,
a tribute to the Troop show. Vince said, I'm paraphrasing, don't let one bad egg ruin a good thing.
I'm sorry. The fact that the men alleged, if it's alleged to come out to be true, that those men that did this to her were never brought to justice.
That in itself is a crime.
Well,
apparently from reports, it's one man and a woman was on guard.
Well,
that's worse.
Yeah, that's even worse. The fact that another woman allowed that to happen. But
again, allegedly.
Allegedly. We're covering our bases here. But allegedly. But the fact of the matter is that if it's true, they both need to go to jail for what their hand in it. Like I said, I don't know them. I don't know the names. I don't even know if it's – we don't know if it's true. But I'm just saying if it does come out to be true, people are out of the service now, they need to be put in jail. I'm just saying.
No, you're absolutely right. And all right.
Let's get into some lighter topic. Let's make fun of people.
We'll talk about WWE when Brian gets on, because we can make some bets. because I have odds for matches in WWE.
Oh, for the Evacuation Chamber?
Yeah, and TNA.
You mean the company that might be going down the toilet soon?
And about 8 people have delivered hourglass signals on fucking that they're ready to defect, including Jordan Grace and Speedball Mike Bailey.
Oh, time is, you know, like they said, time is fleeting. Madness will take its toll.
Yeah, well, there ain't no time warp. The time warp might actually be for, surprisingly, the time warp might be for AEW. Because if I'm Tony Khan, I go hire Scott D'Amore.
Or if you're WWE, you hire Scott D'Amore.
Oh, you want to run AEW out of business, you hire Scott D'Amore. AEW wants to stay in business, they go hire Scott D'Amore. If NWA is smart, they'd hire Scott D'Amore. If Anthem is smart, they'd sell to Scott D'Amore.
Yeah, the fact that he even gave him and said, look, how much do you want? I'll buy it. He tried to do what Eric Bischoff did in WCW.
Yep.
Because Eric, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Eric Bischoff try to buy WCW before Vince did?
He tried to buy it from TNT. Time Warner and Ted was still going to do the pay-per-views.
No, it's either you do it once or do it or not do it. That's the deal. It's either all in or all out.
Well, Ted, so here's the funny thing. Ted Turner never ran Nitro.
No, that was all Bischoff.
No, that was Ted Turner paid for pay-per-views.
Did he really?
Yes. Ted Turner did all the pay-per-views. Eric, TNT, Time Warner, and all them, they're the ones that did Nitro.
No, I did not. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, Ted Turner did not put any money. He put all his money into the pay-per-view. That's why when you go back and look, you never saw a Ted Turner promotion. Time Warner promotion, or
does it? You know what? Yeah, but here's the thing: didn't the company that, like I said, the one that tried to buy WC, that was Bischoff and Jason Hervey, correct?
Yep, that's the mogul that is like bigger than everything and for movies.
Right, because I know Jason Hervey was a big WCW fan, and I know he tried to. I know he did appearances for them in the late 80s and stuff like that. And did he really date Missy Hyatt, or was that just a storyline?
I don't know. I'm not going to be able to speak on that. The only person from the 90s that I know dated that were famous was Michelle Fischler or Danielle Fischler and Lance Bass. That's the only one I could tell you.
Danielle Fischler and Lance Bass.
Yeah.
Tell me why.
Before he was gay.
Well, he never. Well, we're not going to go down that road. We're not going to go down that rabbit hole.
Well, he did come out. He came out as being gay.
Well, no. I'm not going to go down the 80s like teen love affair rabbit hole.
Oh, by the way, speaking of odd stars out of the 80s, you see what Jessica Simpson's doing with her daughter now?
I'm afraid to even ask.
She's back promoting Chicken of the Sea.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Like,
What is this? Jessica Simpson going to be the new Mama June?
Dude, how much are they paying her to relive a fucking vlog from 2006?
I don't even want to discuss that.
Like, a fuck-up that made her... That pretty much is the reason she became famous.
I know this is tuna, but why does it say... Kicking. I remember that show when it was on. It was Newlyweds with Nick and Jessica.
Yeah. It was Nick Lachey.
And she's sitting on the couch eating a thing of Chicken of the Sea. And Nick just looks over and goes, I bet you, I mean, he didn't say it on the show, but in the mind, he must have been like, I know you're hot, but you can't be that fucking stupid.
By the way, and the commercial is her and her daughter sitting on the couch with her saying, I'm eating Chicken of the Sea. Fish. You know that, right? Like, making
why
your
does
daughter...
it say chicken? Yeah.
But why does it say... I'm like, literally, she's redoing the fucking famous flub.
She's doing the ad, yeah.
She's doing the fucking ad for the ad. I'm like, How much are they paying you?
Not enough.
What did Tony Romo do to you? Who hurt you?
Tell us on the dial where he hurt you.
But no,
it's like, I mean, we make jokes here and everything and stuff like that, but it's just like some of these, you know, to relive some of these things from that time, that decade.
There are kids that are now not old enough to understand why that was funny in 2006. I graduated high school when this show came on.
You know, it's just, I mean, was she, you know, she was just, I don't know if it was a legit supposed to be that way or she was really that naive.
Dissy?
I got to believe, look, I know there are people that play up stuff. I'm sorry. That had to be a stunt because nobody's that stupid. Well, I stand corrected. There are people that are that stupid, but still, I mean.
Listen, darling, you have to understand what's going on here.
Jesus Christ, your card, Nicole. I'm going to take it away if you don't go back.
I'm just saying, you're saying stupid.
Hey, get the guard. Get the case of Cools out of her thing. Get it out. She's got 2 seconds if she don't go back. It's going in. I'm taking it back.
All right, she ran away.
Thank God. But
she needs those for payments. Those for conjugal visits.
Nobody wants to conjugally visit that. That's for damn sure.
I mean, maybe if it was the 90s.
And you were coked out on your out of your mind.
I mean, listen, in the 90s, a lot of people conjugal visited Joanna.
Oh, well.
There was a guy that used to break hearts. Someone that always screamed that he didn't need a gimmick.
One who excellently executed things. And
yeah.
Allegedly. That's always been an alleged.
That wasn't alleged. Someone that used to wear face paint that wanted to bang Joanna, but the no gimmicks guy was a great swimmer. Woot woot.
I know who you're talking about.
That's not allegedly. That's legit because he said it on a shoot interview.
Now say, who is that now allegedly?
A violent one.
Ah. Yeah, well.
Yeah, go get some Faygo.
We're not going to discuss him either.
No, that I'm actually talking about the band because, you know, Faygo, that was their gimmick.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
You're a Faygo! What the hell were they doing? Sorry, I'm trying to pull up this article right now about what Major League Baseball is doing. There we go. Spring Showcase. That's what they're calling it.
Oh, is this the thing you were telling me about earlier?
Yes.
So,
all right, we'll go into baseball news. Baseball is actually doing something really cool that I actually really like. They are doing for 4 days from the 14th to the 17th during spring training.
You mean March of four?
March. What did I say?
You told me February. I'm like, wait a minute.
Sorry,
that already happened.
March. So beginning of spring training, they're going to call it spring breakout.
Okay.
Events is from March 14th to March 17th will pit organizations' best prospect groups against one another in a game. Which that is part of a doubleheader, which schedules spring games. Although highly regarded, you're going to get certain teams that you're going to get doubleheaders where you're going to get top prospects from each team, at least top 100 specs on each team. Which also, and if fans want to go see this, which is a good thing, they're doing a free autograph signing too while they're there.
Hell, that's the best way to get autographs from top prospects now before they become megastars, you know?
The leagues could televise the games on MLB Network. The one game that was officially announced is the Baltimore Orioles versus the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Which is which will showcase Jackson Holliday from the Orioles
versus Paul Skeens from the Pirates.
There, folks, we're telling you right now, that's something that if you're in the area and you're able to see it live, go for it. And if you have access to watch it on TV, you're going to watch two of the future MLB's future megastars.
Yeah.
In the showcase. And like Ronnie said, this is something that Major League Baseball's got to do to put a little positive spin on its thing, because Lord knows it's had enough negative in the last couple of years.
I mean, Jackson Holliday, you're getting guys like the Rangers. Rangers have like three guys that are the top five.
The Mets have a bunch of them.
It gives spring training, like, okay, you already know the guys that are going to be on there. I don't want to see – it's the reason you don't watch the preseason in football for the guys that are the stars.
Right.
You watch it for the up-and-comers.
Correct.
This is what you need for this. Like, if they find a guy that they think could fill out the main roster, great, put him on there. But spring training should not be about the main guys.
No, I agree, because this is a great showcase for the minor league talent that's on the way up and stuff like that. Like the last year, this would have been great if the kids from Cincinnati, if they had this last year, the kids from Cincinnati would have been all over it. Yeah, he would have been all over this. You know I'm right.
Oh, yeah. There would have been fucking ton of money involved in that. Like, especially like the Yankees. Yankees would have had
Volpe.
Volpe and what's his name up there?
Jason Dominguez.
Dominguez.
And I mean, the Mets have a buttload of prospects, the Jet Williams, the Ryan Cliffords, the Drew Gilberts. You know, I mean, there's a ton of major league talent or future talent in the Mets organization thanks to trades and,
That's tomorrow? That officially, spring training officially starts tomorrow.
Yeah, the first Mets game is on Saturday.
So here you go. So you ready for this? I got 14th, 15th, 16th games. Let me do notable games. Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Like I said, that's a big one.
We already know that one. Yeah.
Mets St. Louis.
That's on Saturday the 25th.
I'm saying this is more.
Well, no, the first game that's going to be televised is going to be the 25th. It's going to be the Mets and the Cardinals.
I'm saying this is March 14th. This is the spring breakout games.
Oh, okay.
Cardinals, Mets. Kansas City versus Arizona.
Ooh, that's going to have some good – that's going to have some marquee matchups in it.
Cincinnati versus Texas.
Ooh, interesting.
Oh, you're not going to get Paul Skeens in this, but Friday, March 15th, Pittsburgh versus the Yankees.
That's just going to be disgustingly awesome to watch.
Kansas City versus Cincinnati.
I don't know who's the prospects that Kansas City has, but I know they have.
I don't know, but Seattle at the Angels. That should be interesting.
And the Angels have some decent prospects because they got a lot of prospects back in all those trades that they made for those different guys in the offseason when they had the Luis Giolitos and stuff like that when they ended up trading them.
After
acquiring them and traded them away. Go
Mets on the 15th have Washington.
Washington's got a few notable minor
leagues. Baltimore's got Tampa.
Jackson Holliday again.
Yep. Chicago has the White Sox. The Marlins have St. Louis. That might be a good – that might be good.
The Marlins are going to be – Marlins have got a lot of up-and-comers.
Oh, here you go. March 16th, Pittsburgh versus Atlanta.
I don't know who Atlanta's got in their farm system, but I think all their top prospects are up already.
Who's a Mets guy this day? Mets have Houston.
Bring a trash can.
Boston has Baltimore.
I think out of everybody, I think The top prospect, like I said, I'm really looking for. I haven't seen too much about him is the kid from Baltimore, is Jackson Holliday. Because if he's anything, if he's got a quarter of the kind of power his dad had, just get him a Hall of Fame statue now.
Yankees at Boston, that should be fun.
Yeah.
Because you can get Austin Wells in that.
Austin Wells is in a major league camp, though, I think.
Yeah, but they're still going to probably play him because that's the fourth game, so they'll play him. He's still a top prospect.
Well, then the only one that can't play is because he's still recovering, and that's Dominguez. He's still recovering. I don't know if
he's... I don't know which one Holliday is going to play in this one. This is interesting. Doubleheader for this one. Baltimore is got Atlanta and Detroit.
Ooh, interesting.
Detroit's interesting. That might be a good game.
Detroit's got a lot of young up-and-comers coming up, so.
Now, obviously, like, it's one of those things where why would we talk about preseason baseball? And it's really the fact that it's not about preseason. It's really about the fact that you're going to get these up-and-comers to showcase, and then it's going to bring money to the minor league teams.
Yeah, and I mean, hey, it's gonna generate a lot of revenue for a lot of these teams. Franchise, you know, for once the season does start, and some of these kids get sent back down that don't make the major leagues. It's gonna make it interesting. Like in our area where we are, we have the Somerset Patriots, which is a Yankee Double A affiliate,
and we got the Lakewood Blue Claws, which is the Single A for the Phillies.
But that's more closer to you. But the Somerset Patriots, they I've been in that stadium. I've lost count of how many times I've been in that stadium. I have yet to see a Yankee game there since they took over. I haven't been there since.
Thought you went to go see Volpe.
Oh yes, I did go see Volpe that one time. You're right. Okay, that's what I'm saying. I didn't even remember it.
I was gonna say. I remember you went to go see Volpe. That's why I was like, you've never done.
Well, no, it slipped my mind.
No, it's all right. No, it's all good.
But it's like, I just definitely think there's, you know, if these kids are showcased right, which I have a feeling they will be, it's gonna be nothing but money hand over fist for these organizations, come the regular season starts. It's going to generate revenue for them. They're like, oh, this kid plays for this Double A team. Let's go check him out. And tickets are usually a little more affordable for minor league baseball, if memory serves correctly.
Just to get in the buildings, usually like about $20.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I haven't been there in a while.
Park across the street.
No, you can't. They will tow. They will tow because it's happened. I've seen it happen. They're very strict with it right over there. But, I mean, even to park in TD Bank Ballpark, it's $4, $3 or $4.
Yeah.
And to get into, like, to get into a stadium where Alicia and I usually sit, we usually sit behind home plate. It's between $15 and $18 a ticket. The food's reasonable. It's in a good area. You know, getting out is never an issue. The players are always accessible for autographs on both sides, you know, opposing team and the Patriots have always made it autograph friendly. It's good family fun, you know,
yeah.
and it's located.
It's a good day in the ballpark. It's what baseball used to be.
Yeah. Before Rob Buttfuck screwed it all up.
Okay. I want to ask you something. In all honesty, where did he screw this? Where did he screw the pooch?
Dude, where do I even?
I'm saying.
All right, you know what it is, and it's like, and I've said this argument before. To me, you can't rush a game like baseball. Baseball, I know the argument you've had. Oh, you got to keep the attention of the kids. You got to keep this, that, and all the thing. That's all. Whatever, well and good and everything. But baseball is not like football where there's a time clock. Baseball is not like hockey, which is a time clock. And basketball and all these other sports that have time clocks. you know, that there's time clocks involved in all these sports because they're timed. Baseball was never a timed sport. You know, having the hitter step out so he can get inside the pitcher's head. The pitcher may be taking a little extra time to get inside the batter's head. It's a chess, it's like a giant chess game.
Okay.
But then Commissioner Moron comes in and says, okay, we need to have a pitch clock sort of thing. Oh, the batter's only allowed to do this. The batter's only allowed to do that. Oh, he can only take out, he only come out once. Or you can only take out once. You can only call one timeout. The pitcher has to throw the ball within 20 seconds or something. Pickoffs are limited to 5, and then you automatically get a base. I don't understand why people felt the need to speed up the game of baseball when it didn't need to be.
But, okay, so I agree. The pitch clock is not the smartest thing. But other than the pitch clock, where did he fuck up?
The only thing I don't care about, because in my eyes it really doesn't affect it in any way. In fact, it has made it a little better. It's bigger bases. Although if you like the joke I sent you a couple of weeks back.
Yeah.
Of Jose Altuve sitting on a base, but anyway.
But it's 2 mistakes, and I'm going to stand by the second mistake being the ghost runner on second versus.
Yeah, I'm not crazy.
Positive.
I'm not crazy about the runner on second either, because it's just like.
There's better ways to handle extra innings.
I mean, it's like, look, to me, this is what Manfred has done. Manfred has took the game of baseball, which was America's pastime, and turned it into, I know everybody says it's not a business, but it is. It is technically a business, which is going to lead me to something else down the road about a certain player. But we'll get to that. But the fact is, football is, it's, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, it is a living chess match. You don't know what's in the mind of the hitter, what's in the mind of the pitcher. You know, you don't know, you know, it's a duel of sorts. And by adding all these rules to make it go faster, you're just ruining it. Because Manfred wants to get those younger kids in there, wants to get the younger dollars.
But it's not all about – so if he – so I agree that the fact of where they have the pitch clock is bad. They honestly should make it 40 seconds.
They shouldn't have a fucking pitch clock anyway.
John, I'm going to say this. There's one problem. There is a moment in baseball – where a dude takes 3.5 minutes in between pitches before the pitch is there. There has always been a internal pitch clock in baseball. They just decided to put it out and make it a little bit shorter than my liking. Nolan Ryan came out and said, there has always been a 40-second pitch clock in baseball. They have never been there. The umpires have never called it. The players have made it. Was an unwritten rule. Because I'm sorry, when I would see when you could literally show Altuve doing 7 inside the park home runs and one batter not even get to, and a guy pitched 6 pitches, we have a problem.
You see, the thing what I'm trying to say is, look, have about the pitch clock and stuff like that. I mean, there's certain things in baseball that I think they can knock off. Like I remember, who was it? Was it Chuck Knoblauch that would sit there and unravel his, you know, his gloves and readjust them after every pitch, and, you know, adjust his crotch and like do the sleeves on his shirt and all these little. What's that?
Nomar with the wrist with the batting gloves.
Yeah, I mean, look, some of those things, you could say, look, if you're not ready to hit in the butt in the thing, that's different. But to say, oh, you got 20 seconds. And like I said, and you guys have fought me on this, and I'll say it, and I'm going to stick by it. If you disagree with me, you're perfectly allowed to do that. My whole thing is with the pitch clock, I believe that's what led to some arm injuries with some of these older guys.
that the
some of the
is those...
some of the older guys. I'm not saying I'm not gonna name names because
name names. No, please.
Verlander. I know it's hurt. I know it hurt Verlander last year. I know it hurt Scherzer last year. I kind of have a feeling it maybe led to DeGrom rushing a little bit and stuff like that. And for some of these teams to say, oh, the pitch clock doesn't. I've seen news reports on MLB Network that where some of the people involved with MLB Network, I don't remember their names, so I'm not going to call them out because I don't remember. But they're saying a lot of these older guys, the commentators are saying, some of the older pitchers do not like it because it's rushing their momentum. They've been doing this for 10, 12 years, and then all of a sudden they're asked, you got to change in a span of a second. You got to change your 12-year career. You got to forget everything you've ever learned about pitching, going back to high school, just so you could adhere to a rule that I don't think we need to have anyway.
But yet when Nolan Ryan has come out and said there's always been a pitch clock, it's been an unwritten rule.
But
and
you
when you have certain pitchers taking 3 minutes or 2.5, whatever it was, in between pitches, there had to be a change there because, God damn it, that is boring.
Look, I'll say this. Well, you know what it is, and it's like that's why – you know what? They may not have to have an unwritten rule. They may not have to have it verbally done like that. But saying, look, if a pitcher is blatantly doing that to cut time, that's when you say something against the pitcher. But having to have the hitter, like I said, they're like, okay, once you're in the box, you're in the box.
You want to know what happened if the hitter took too long to get in the box? They got brushed up.
Yeah, you know what? Because that's the way baseball's always been played.
But there's always been a running clock for pitchers and hitters. There's always been a running clock. I don't agree with the 20 seconds. I've never said that I did, but you could have kept it at 40. You could have just dialed it back. It's the fact that they're trying to make the game, like, the fact that they're trying to shorten it to 20 seconds or 30 seconds per pitch is a problem, and I agree with that. It's not ruining the game. I honestly do not think it's ruining the game. I don't think it led to any injuries. There's no proof that it led to any injuries.
Well, granted, there's no proof that it's done, but you can't sit here and say, I know there's no proof that you're saying it didn't, but you don't have any proof that it did.
When Verlander also comes out and says he loves the fact that the pitch clock was...
Of course Verlander's going to come out and say that. Do you really think Verlander's going to come out and say anything slanderous against the owner, against the MLB ownership and MLB's office people? That's player suicide. You really think they're going to come out and say, yeah, this is bullshit rule, I don't want it.
Oh, you really think Verlander cares? He can retire. He could have retired the next year.
But
he'd still be a Hall of Famer.
Granted, you're right, but you know what? No MLB player in his right mind is going to come out and say, I think these rules are bullshit. They need to go away.
No, but he had the clout that he could actually...
Look, as much clout as Verlander has, he doesn't have that much clout.
To say that? Oh, what are they going to do? Fine him? Okay, I retire. I don't work for you anymore. Bye. I can say whatever I want. Like... Verlander could do that. Like, it's not career suicide. Saying that he liked it, then it's like, okay, he got hurt. And we're playing a fucking sport. It ain't ballet.
Well, come on. It's not like football where you're going to have a 300-pound guy charging, running down at you about 40 miles an hour.
I don't know what's actually worse. Yeah,
I think football's worse. I'm sorry, if I'm a 175-pound, 200-pound quarterback, and I see a big guy who weighs about 285, 295 running at me full speed, and I'm about to meet the business end, it's going to be like getting hit by a golf cart.
Okay, well, but yet getting hit with a 117-mile-an-hour ball coming right back at you? No, here's the difference. Football, you have some protection. baseball, there ain't no protection.
Okay,
that
all right.
Ball, that's a 117-mile-an-hour ball coming off of someone's bat hitting you in the skull.
No, you're right, and you're completely right, but here's the thing. How often in a major league season, how many times have you seen, during a regular season from, I'm talking about, let's say from April 1st to September 30th, let's say that's a season.
Right.
The final first day on the first, 30th is the last day. How many guys can you say, how many times can you say a pitcher got a comebacker to the head? Four, maybe five times? Six if you're pushing it?
I mean, depending on what the comeback shot was, it's more than we actually would think.
But it's less likely that a pitcher's going to get hit by a ball going that fast than it is for almost near 300-pound linebacker to go after a quarterback. You know that quarterback's going to eat the turf at least once, twice, three times in a quarter. Where in baseball, you can't sit here and tell me that a guy is going to get hit by a 117-mile-an-hour fastball coming off a bat.
But here's the thing. With that being full, you look at it, the most tackles somebody makes in a game is eight.
But do you see the argument I'm trying to make, though?
No, I do, but I'm saying as though it's the same thing. It's eight hits. Like a guy having to make a tackle, at most times it's eight.
See, this is why I wish Christian were here, because Christian would be able to back up some of these things.
But
I understand. Look, I understand your point, but I want you to see where I'm coming from when it comes to that. I understand your point.
I understand what you're saying, but what I'm trying to say is that Manfred didn't. As much as everyone wants to say Manfred screwed,
I'm not
the
blaming
game,
Manfred on the ball with that.
Oh no. But I'm saying, like, back to what we were originally saying, like. Yeah, you're going to get this, but, like, Manfred didn't – as much as Manfred – he messed up on two things.
What are those two things in your eyes?
My eyes, extra innings. And I do admit the pitch clock is a bad thing. I think we should have had a pitch clock, but I think it's too short. I think the pitch clock should have been 40 seconds.
And this whole thing about, oh, the pitcher can only throw over five times, and if he does, it's not.
Here's the thing. With that, I understand it because he wants to generate more stolen bases.
But then that's when he turned around and made the bases bigger, so it would be a better chance of that to happen.
But he didn't want – so he didn't want players – because you know the guys that steal. Okay, if they're holding him on, they would pitch over about.
Or if you're Mark Burley, get balks called on you every 2 seconds. Thank you, Joe
right.
West.
But here's the one. There's a loophole to this that no one talks about. If you have a good catcher, why is the catcher not throwing down if they're thinking they're going to steal?
All right, because you and I have had this discussion once before.
Right.
There has not been a catcher in the majors that has had a cannon for an arm, unlike the ones of a Yadier Molina, a Pudge Rodriguez. I'm sorry, those two guys, they were freaks of nature when it came to throwing guys out at first base.
Will Smith has a fucking cannon.
But not like Yadi and Pudge did.
Oh, no. But I'm saying, though, is why is that not something that they're trying to teach? Because if you have a catcher, get at least, maybe not down to second quick, but can get down to first quick, you hold that guy from having to fucking jump to go to second.
Look, I understand where you're talking. I understand where you're coming from about that, but here's the thing with that. There's not, like I said, and I'll say it before, and I'll say it to, and Ryan, I'm sure, would agree with me on that. There hasn't been a guy since a Yachty or a Pudge that has had the kind of talent to throw guys out at first base since them.
Well, no one that we've seen. No one that's actually had the opportunity to try to throw him first, because no one holds players at first base anymore.
Nobody does. I'm sorry. No, the art of keeping somebody at first.
Honestly, I think if that was if a catcher had that, you would still not see stolen bases on him because, okay, all I got to do is get it down to first and make sure I hold him there because he knows I can get it down there.
But then here's the only problem with that. Here's the only other wrinkle that I see maybe possibly happen. All right, let's say.
I mean, overthrows, but.
Let's say in the minor leagues. Let's say catchers are starting. A manager will say, okay, let's work on throwing guys out at first base.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts to become a thing where kids are coming up and they're starting to throw four, five, six times over to first base. Then commissioner, you know who, is going to come around and say to the catcher, you can only throw over to first base three times.
Then, well.
Because, you see, that's the kind of thing that I mean, that once there's a rule, he's going to look at another rule. He's going to look at another way to shorten it up.
I don't think that. I think that game, especially then if you count, if the clock still moves after he hits the rubber, I think it would, the game would still be at pace. Because, you throw down. The minute that ball goes back to the pitcher, you still on the clock. A pitcher throwing over, how often does a pitcher throw a pickoff normally?
Before this rule or after this rule?
Before this rule.
Depends on who's on first.
But
I mean, if you're looking at a guy.
Okay, let's say it's an Acuna.
A Ronald Acuna, you'll probably get six or seven throws over.
Okay. Six or seven throws stands up to what per pitch? Probably probably an extra
minute and a half, give or take.
Minute and a half. Okay. Catcher does it probably short since about a minute. Because it's a whip down, and then the clock keeps going. After that ball gets to the pitcher, the clock starts again because the batter can still get back into the box. It doesn't affect the batter at all. But you still keep that chess game. And the problem is that nobody is thinking about that. I bet you Manfred is, but I don't think that's going – I think that is something that, again, is a lost art, yes. But so is throwing a fucking second.
You know, it's like I said, you know, I mean, you and I mean, I respect your opinion because your opinion, you make a lot of valid points. I'm not saying I disagree with what you're saying. But in my eyes, I don't like the changes he's made. And 2029 can't come soon enough. And what I mean by 2029 can't come soon enough, he is stepping down as of after the end of the 2028 season. He's stepping down as MLB commissioner.
Okay.
And that is a godsend to Major League Baseball fans because a lot of speculation, according to the Twitterverse and the Facebook keyboard warriors, I'm not going to call anybody out by name. I will never do that. A lot of them think once he leaves, a lot of these rules are going to be abolished. I don't think so. I don't think the rules are going to be abolished, unfortunately. Will some of them be altered? Possibly. Like you said, you might see a 40-second pitch clock. You might see the second base rule completely abolished. You know,
all honesty, that's the one that needs to go.
Well, this is one where you and I both agree. I completely agree with that. Because you know what it is? Here's why, well, A, it's stupid rule. But B, here's the other bottom bad part of it. This happened a lot during the Mets games last year, and I swear to God, I hated it. The person who makes the last out is the one that's got to go to second base. Do you know how many times Vogelbach was on second base? That guy couldn't outrun a train. Or you know what I mean. He couldn't outrun it. A sloth will run faster the way Vogelbach ran. But it's just, I'm like saying, it's like, you're going to put a guy like, you're going to put a guy that has absolute no – so you're basically at the mercy of the guys that – but you're like, please let my fastest guy be the last one up because then that means I got a speedster on second base. But then here's the problem. Okay, I have two-ton Tony on second base. I got to take him out and replace him with another guy, and then the game still goes on. Then I'm losing a bench player to replace two-ton Tony on second base. This is why the rule is dumb. I mean, that's why that rule should be abolished altogether. You know, I'm just saying that's what where you and I are definitely in agreement on.
Yeah, I honestly got to think it's, oh, we're trying to shorten the game. Okay, well, nobody bunts anymore. So if you were going to shorten the game, wouldn't you start the guy at third?
Well, no, because in that case, then that means a pop fly will bring him in.
Not with Vogelback.
Well, Vogelback would need a ground. He'd need a ground rule double just to get past second base. Hey, one thing I'll say, he's Toronto's problem now.
Yeah,
but
like that's the thing. Like, oh well, start a guy at second. Nobody bunts. So why would it matter? I would have rather taken a bunt pop fly. Or that would have at least made the game credible. There's no small ball anymore, so fuck that whole horse shit.
But here's my other point that I've always wanted to say. Did anybody petition Commissioner Buttfuck that the game is too slow? Please make it faster. What fan? I don't recall ever fans writing in saying the game's too slow.
I've sat through some games where I've kind of been like, all right, what the fuck? Like, the game would be when a game is hitting 5 hours, I'm like, all right, I'll watch this. I'll watch the highlights later.
But you know what? Okay, that's the way you feel about it. But somebody who's loved baseball all his life, like me.
I've loved baseball all my life. I'm sorry. Unless the game is a fucking entertaining, I will sit through fucking games that are entertaining. I just watched a college game go 17 innings and got called on fucking curfew. That was
You told me about that. I tried to look for the game. I didn't see it. But you see, that's a different thing. That's a different thing.
But
I
that's
think
still an entertaining game that lasted 17 innings. That was a pitching duel.
But that's exactly why my point is the whole speeding the game up. It's takes it away from all the, you know, takes away from the drama. There was a game like. You weren't, I don't even know if you were born at this time. This was in 1984 or 5.
Nope.
It was a game between the Atlanta Braves and the New York Mets. The game started at 7:10. You want to know what time the game ended?
Yeah, it was like
4:35 in the morning. And a pitcher hit a home run to end the game. Rick Camp. I remember the game. I didn't see it all. My grandfather actually stayed up and watched it. I fell asleep around the 13th or 14th inning. But the game was like 21 or 22 innings, if memory serves correctly. But he said, but what I remember him telling me, now my grandfather at the time was 63 or 64, I forget. But he said, his words were to me the next day, he goes, that was the most exciting game I'd ever seen in my life because you didn't know who you were dying to know who was going to fold first.
But you know what the one problem about those is, and I'll even say this as a fan of the game, the next game must have been complete dog shit.
It's a good thing you brought that up because what had happened was by the time they got out of the stadium, it was almost 5:45 in the morning. The game, there was supposed to be a 1:10 game that day.
Right.
They pushed the game to 7:10 the next day. They rescheduled it.
Right.
For 7:10 that night because of, obviously, the players are going to play late. And again, the players still played. It was a 1-0 loss by the Mets that in that game because both teams, nobody had any energy left. And it was just, I think somebody hit a home run. But that was it. It was one run was scored. But that's it. For one run to be scored in a game like that, where all the pitchers had to be exhausted, that just shows you how players were built differently in the 80s as to being opposed to now.
But think about it too. And now look at it as a business side. If when was that? Was that a Sunday?
No, it was on the 4th of July. I remember that. It was a Saturday night because they were going to have Saturday night fireworks. And to give the Braves credit, they still had a fireworks display at 4:30 in the morning. Because they promised them that night, and they still delivered.
Now, look at it this way. Now, look at it as a business side. Again, it's 4th of July, so kids are off. But then what about the like? Granted, tickets are nothing what they are today.
I'm willing to bet tickets in 84, 85 had to be anywhere between $15 to $25 a piece.
Okay, now let's roll that into today. If a game got done at 4:30 in the morning, and they had to play a 1 o'clock game the next day or a 7 o'clock game the next day.
Right.
And tickets are costing upwards to, and it's a Saturday holiday game, and tickets are costing somewhere between $250 to $5,000.
Right.
And they played like dog shit because nobody was available to play. How pissed off would you be?
You see, something like that is kind of hard to say, because look, I'm sorry, if I'm someone that's willing to lay down, you know, between $500 to $1,000 for a game, my ass is watching that whole game. Unless I have disposable income, they're like, oh, I'll just leave and then whatever.
But I'm not talking about the night before. If you did not go to the game the night before and you went to the next game, the game after the seventh, the fucking 20-inning fucking insane asylum.
Right.
And you go to this game and it's complete dog shit. You spent all that money on the game and they're not at the top of their game because they are professionals.
Yeah, but
wouldn't you be pissed off?
All right, here's I have an answer for that, believe it or not. Here's the thing. The players being the way in the mindset that they are today still go out there and try to give those fans what they paid for. Regardless of how tired they might be, players nowadays will get themselves up for that. You see, back then nobody really cared. You know, about stuff like, well, ticket prices set aside. A baseball fan's mentality in the 70s and 80s is vastly different from the fans' knowledge today. Fans are a lot smarter. What do you call a guy like that in wrestling? You call him a mark.
Smark, yeah.
Smark. Baseball has their own version of smarks. I don't know what you'd call them. They have their own form of it too. I mean, there's a million guys on YouTube and Twitter and X or Mark's the Spot or whatever the hell that are going to have opinion about what they would do differently if they were in control of the game. But you know what I mean? It's just like, you don't know. But I mean, we could have this discussion until we're blue in the face.
I mean, yeah, because honestly, that whole thing goes back to me saying something about, like, NBA. LeBron James is coming to New York. Oh, well, kids are going to pay money out the wazoo to watch LeBron play.
Because it's the marquee name, of course.
But LeBron then will turn around and say, oh, I'm not playing today. I'm taking the night off.
That's just a dirtbag thing to do.
But you turn around and you – but what if, like, someone like – I'll use a Mets and I'll use a Yankees example. What if the same thing happens and you go through that and Judge takes the night off?
You see, here's the thing. And
or
like
Pete
I said,
Alonso takes the night off or Shohei takes the night off.
Well, you see the thing with Alonso and Judge – there's been games where I've watched games where Pete will play in a doubleheader, play game one. They'll sit him in game two, and he will be on the top step of the dugout. He looks like a nervous kid in the morning after having too much sugar. He's like literally amped up. He wants to be in there playing. Same with Judge. I've seen that with Judge too.
I understand that, but what I'm saying though is like these parents spend all this money to go watch these stars. And you give these players these rest days with no, meanwhile, with no advance notice. They're just, oh, they're not playing today. No injury, just scratch, healthy scratch.
But you see, the thing, too, you don't think these players look at the schedule and go, okay, I know, I mean, if these players had any conscience, some of them do, some of them don't. Like, it's funny you brought up Pete because I found out what he's going to be doing this year with home runs, which I think
I
think that's absolutely admirable as hell is what he's doing. But you don't think, like, you mentioned LeBron James is coming to New York to play. You don't think he looked on that schedule and realizes people are going to pay marquee prices to see him play? I know he's done it, and you know what? This is why I never follow basketball, because – to me, basketball players are more prima donnas than any other sport.
That's the thing, though.
Basketball, football, baseball, then hockey. Because hockey, you can't really be a prima donna in hockey. Because, trust me, you'll get your clock cleaned in hockey.
But, like, here's the thing. I also think, like, when it comes to NBA, they should force these players to play at least a half. If you're planning on sitting, that's fine, but you should at least be playing two quarters. If you're on a rest day, that's the fans get to see you, the kids get to see you, and then you still get your rest afterwards.
No, I completely agree. Look, I completely agree with you.
And that's the same. And honestly, baseball, I'm sorry, there's no such thing as a Cal Ripken Jr. anymore where you're going to get an Ironman. I understand that. Everyone's going to need an off day. But
yeah,
on the same hand, like, if it's a doubleheader, good. Because 90% of the time you're going to get – they're going to go to both games.
Right.
And,
I mean,
and if a kid goes to a doubleheader and he misses his favorite player in the morning, usually he'll get it at the night game.
Right. I mean, you're going to see him at some point.
Yeah. That I'm fine with. If you're telling me they're going to sit because they're not injured for the first game, fine, I get that. At least they're going to get to see him at the second game. Like, same with, like, a day-night doubleheader. I get that. That war is not where I have an issue with it. Where I have an issue is where you get these players that are healthy scratches at home nonetheless, and they just don't play. Like, especially the one thing about baseball now where you can just argue it. Oh, they need an off day? They're DHing.
But yet the fans will still get a chance to see them.
Exactly. They're still paying. They're still getting their money's worth.
Which leads me to, is there another point you wanted to make? Because I wanted to bring up another point.
No, you're good. Go.
Brings me to a point that a certain player, and I want to get your take on this. A certain player came out. And,
I thought he was a piece of trash during COVID.
And the person I'm speaking about is Anthony Rendon, who plays for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim / the California Angels.
I was going for the other asshole out west, Blake Snell.
Oh, well, we'll get to him, too. If you want to rant on him, we'll get to him in a second.
Oh, no, I ranted on him when back in COVID, when he said that it's his body going out there every day with nobody in the stands. Oh, it's my body. I deserve every pound of money I get. I deserve my $25 million. Suck my dick.
Anyway.
No. All right, sorry. I wanted to just get this out real quick. When Trevor Bauer is asking for the league minimum and you're asking for fucking $35 million a year to pitch a ball, fuck you. Okay.
You get it all out now, bro?
You don't like Bauer. I get it for his personality. Dude is the worst of the scum out there, and I don't care. Oh, it's slander. Bullshit. No, you have come out and done this on your live streams. When you were begging for money from Twitch, from fans on Twitch, when you made six fucking figures to pitch a fucking ball. Meanwhile, Trevor Bauer is asking for $100,000 just to prove he's still good. And he's a better pitcher than you, and he has a fucking slider and a splitter that can fucking make you 6 feet fucking deep.
Look, I'm not disagreeing with you on that, because I remember, and now that you said all that, it's all coming back to me with that.
Yeah,
but here's the thing,
asshole.
Too. Well, this is why there's two people that there's two people on my shit list recently, and not for any reason, just because I think both of them are bad for the game. One is Anthony Rendon. The second one would be Scott Boras, but I'll get to Scott Boras in a second. But the whole thing with Rendon came out publicly. And this is, you can look this up. Anybody listening, you can look this up. He said, I've never really, he basically said he never liked the game.
It started from last season. It started at the end of last year.
That this was only a job for him. I don't really care. I'm just trying to feed my family. I understand it's a job. I get it. But shut your fucking trap. And I'm going to tell you why, Mr. Rendon. I'm going to tell you why, Mr. I can't play because I got a, you know, a spur up my ass, or I got something wrong with me this week that doesn't allow me to play a full season. And you haven't played a full season in 3 or 4 fucking years, but that's beside the point. Because you're like, oh, I got a toenail. Oh, I broke this. Oh, I hurt this. Oh, my ass. Oh, my this. Oh, this. Whatever. The point is, there are kids in this world that would give their left, you know what? Oh, fuck it, I'll say it. Left nut to play this game and would be willing to play this game for nothing. And you're getting paid 30-something million to play this game, and you're running it into the ground.
He's working on a contract right now.
He's got a 250, he signed a $260 or $70 million contract. I forget what, I think we discussed it on the
7-year, 245.
Yeah, he's making money hand over fist. And he's sitting there basically belittling the game. Well, guess what? If I know, and you already discussed this with me earlier. The Angels have already gone into damage control with this guy. Now,
there was an article that came out today from the AP saying that he's working his tail off, according to Angels GM.
Of course they're going to say that to save face. But in my opinion, when you opened your mouth and you said what you said, oh, and not to mention, this is the same Shamil or whatever you want to say, that baseball should be only 60 games. Okay. Ronnie, you said it best. Okay, if you're only playing 60 games, you only get half your money.
Yeah. I said it when he just said it at COVID. Oh, well, I deserve my full rate for 60 games. No, you don't. You get your money that you would get for 60 games. Listen, you want to make it 60 games, be fine. I agree that 162 games is too much for a regular season, but how do you like your over-the-top fucking pay scale? Because that's because you're getting money for 162 games. You want to make it a certain number, make it 100. That's
what I'm saying. No, you're completely right. I completely agree. You're not gonna hear an argument out of me for that for in the least. But my whole thing is like, if I'm a fan of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim / California Angels, fuck it, it's the Angels. Just cut to the quick. I'm gonna turn around and say to this guy, go fuck yourself. We don't need you. There's 10 guys in the minor leagues that'd be chomping at the bit to take your spot. You're not that special. What have you done in the last couple years with this team? Oh, wait a minute. Let me see. Nothing. The Angels went out and gave you all this fucking money after all your years in Washington where you were such a superstar, and you were good when you were with the Washington Nationals.
You got claimed off of waivers because they didn't want to pay you. Because they wanted to pay fucking Soto.
But the fact is, like, you earned that big contract, or you think you earned that big contract, and the first time you step in on the field after that, a couple games in, you already started getting hurt. And then you just went right to, you got all your millions, your guaranteed millions, and then you started slacking. That's what I think he did. I think he got himself hurt intentionally.
Yeah, it shows because the Angels right now to win the West is 40 to 1.
But the whole thing is with him, he is what's bad for this game that I love so much. It's guys like that that piss me off right, left, right, forwards, and backwards. And then, which brings me to my next point, good old Scotty B. This guy, everybody wants to hire this guy because they're going to get the big millions. Well, Boris, for the last time I checked, spring training started, what, 5 days ago? Five of the biggest name, well, not biggest names, but five of the most biggest names in free agency this year are all sitting on the sidelines because you put ideas in their head that they can make this, 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 and this. And guess what? Nobody's willing to pay it because what you're asking for is ridiculous. Which brings me back to Blake Snell. Blake Snell put in, the Yankees gave him a four-year, $160 million contract offer, which I think is a perfectly fair deal. He turned around and said, no, I want 9 years, $290 million. I'm sorry, Mr. Snell. Since when did you become Cy fucking Young? Just because you won it last year? Big fucking whoop. Big whoop. You had a good year. Do you deserve almost $300 million? No, because you could come to some team would be stupid enough to give you that money. You'll come into that league, and you could shit the bed.
I'm going to say something about this, too. And you're going to laugh at this one.
But am I wrong?
No. Because the question that everyone has to ask themselves about this is he better than Gerrit Cole?
Gerrit Cole is a hell of a lot better pitcher than Blake Snell.
But meaning, Gerrit Cole is getting $30 million a year. Is Blake Snell Gerrit Cole level?
No.
Then he doesn't deserve Gerrit Cole money.
Which
and like
is
I said, everyone's saying, oh, we make a joke that I say he's not an ace. No, because to me, an ace is a leader in the locker room, which Gerrit Cole is not. Is he the number one pitcher on that team? Oh, hell yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But ever since he pulled the stunt that he did in Houston, to me, that is not a leader. Shohei Ohtani is not an ace pitcher, but he is an ace because he is a leader in that locker room. I'm sorry, when he went and fucking batted, ran to the dugout to pitch for the Japanese team, in the finals, and then decided to close the game out, that's a leader. Like, that's your, as much as he's not the ace as a pitcher, that's your ace.
I agree with you. I totally agree with everything you just said. Now, I do not disagree with anything you just
said.
But
that's the thing. Like, everyone's thinking that I don't think Gerrit Cole is an ace. He's not, because he's the best pitcher, but he's not a leader. He's not the leader of the bullpen.
Right, and here's the other.
Look at CeCe. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but look at CeCe.
That's all right.
CeCe was a full blown ace.
Yeah, because CeCe put in the time, and CeCe was a player that not only the fans respected, ownership respected him, and his teammates and the other team respected him because of how he carried himself.
Yeah, it's Oh, God damn it! What's his name? Aaron Nola.
Hmm.
Was the ace for the Phillies because he was the leader of that bullpen, that defense. He was the leader of. You look at Spencer Schrider, even though being young, he is their ace. He is their number one. He is the guy. He is him.
Yeah, you're right. When the Mets faced him, I watched Spencer Strider pitch a lot against the Mets. The kid, he's a fucking freak.
Jason,
he's an absolute freak of nature.
Jacob DeGrom, when he was there for the Mets, he was their ace.
Totally. Which brings me to some other bad news about the Mets, but when we're done with this, we'll bring that
but
up.
But like the problem is, though, is Gerrit Cole may not be the ace. He is their number one. He is the guy when he gets on the mound. He's not a leader of the bullpen. He is the field general.
which leads me to the other four guys that are on that list. J.D. Martinez at age 37, I believe he is, going to be at age 37, wants a 3 or 4 year deal worth over $100 million. He ain't getting it. Clay Bellinger wants a
Cody Bellinger, my bad.
Wants a 4 to 5 year, over $200 million. He ain't going to get it.
He's in talks right now to go back to Chicago for less. That came out today.
Well, but still, but the point, and Jordan Montgomery wants 4 or 5 years at $180-190 million.
If you're the Mets, you kind of sign him. You kind of go after him.
Which will bring me to my other point in a minute. But the point I'm trying to make is Scott Boras is turning around and telling these people, "You're worth it." He's doing the Jerry Maguire of him.
Yep, show me the money.
Show me the money. But guess what? Teams are not as rich as they once were. Some ownership is not willing to take on that kind of money commitment because what has happened with players that have made this much money in the past? The Jacoby Ellsbury's, the Bobby Bonillas, the fucking Jason Bays, the
Shohei Ohtani.
The Ohtanis. And Ohtani, look, I have nothing against him as personally or professionally, but I think a lot of these players figure, well, if Ohtani got that kind of money, I could get this kind of money. Guess what? You're not a two-way player, and you're not the caliber of a Shohei Ohtani. You're not going to get it. So stop fucking thinking stop dreaming.
Like I said, when we discussed the Ohtani contract, $70 million a year.
We went into nauseam. We're not going to go into it.
Honestly, if you're looking at that, okay, he was $20 million for pitching, $50 million for batting. You're looking at, are you worth $50 million for his bat? Like, I'm not even looking at $70 million. No one's going to get $70 million because no one's a two-way player.
Right.
But take the fact that you probably paid him $20 million to be a pitcher. Because he's not a number one pitcher. He's an ace, but he's not a number one pitcher.
Basically, not to cut you off, but basically, by signing him, you're signing two players in essence. In essence, you're
That's
signing
exactly
a pitcher.
How I look at it.
You're signing a pitcher for $20 million, and you're signing a home run bopper for 50,
which he's worth for those two contracts. Split those contracts up. He's worth every bit of money for those two contracts. As a pitcher, he's a $20 million pitcher. As a hitter, he's a $50 million hitter.
But here's the only problem I have with Ohtani, and I've said this during the show.
If his
Tommy John surgery doesn't hold up and he screws up his arm again,
they're out $20 million a year.
No, they could be out $70 million because if his arm is scuffed, he may not be able to hit.
But
so,
the question is though, we don't see the whole contract. Is there a poison pill so they can get rid of him?
Yeah, see, we don't know that.
We don't know.
Could there be? Yes. Yeah. Could there be? We don't know. Like I said, we're not going to speculate. But going on to this last thing, and then we'll bring it up to anything else you want to say.
I got a couple more baseball news.
But it came out today that Kodai Senga was...
By the way, I didn't mean to cut you off. It's just me and you the rest of the way.
Oh, Ryan's not coming on?
Yeah, no.
All right, well, then that's fine. Why? Is he stuck at work?
No, work was a bitch. So I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
Nothing bad. I'll just say you off air.
Okay, no problem. But then you and I will discuss evacuation chamber and stuff like that and all that stuff. But it came out today that Senga was shut down due to arm fatigue. And the second he went to the translator, because I read a couple of reports about it, the fact that he's got arm fatigue, the Mets immediately shut him down and sent him off the field in his uniform from what I read, directly to a hospital to have an MRI done to check out for structural damage in his elbow. Now, since you're more of the odds thing, what were the Mets' odds before this news came out?
To win
the division and or the World Series.
So there's still – nothing has changed because nothing has been reported yet.
Right.
They're 33-1 to win the World Series right now.
Right.
and to make the playoffs, they were like five. I think, to win the division, 11.
Right.
So they were 11-1 to win the division, which is fair, and then they were 33 to win the World Series.
But here's my thing. Go ahead.
Which, is to me, is low.
Now, if it turns out that Senga needs the dreaded TJ, we're praying. Every Met fan right now is having flashbacks to Edwin Diaz getting lost for the season and stuff like that. The Mets are going to have to sign either Snakebit Snell or Jordan Montgomery to a contract. They're going to have to overpay for one of them or give league minimum to Bullshitty Bauer. And I've already said this on air. I've said this privately, and I'll say it on air. If the Mets do sign him, that'll be I don't know. How many starts do you think he'd get? About maybe 15 to 20 starts?
Depending on how he is, but yeah, probably that. But
there would be 15 to 20 games that I will not watch, but that's because of my own personal things.
I think that if Bauer was to sign, you'd probably see the Mets go to 50 to 1 to win the World Series and probably 20 to 1 to win the division. Not because it's that, it's because you're signing in on a guy who hasn't pitched in the major leagues in
over four years. Right, and you know what it is.
So,
and
but here's the thing. Those odds could immediately change if it's Trevor fucking Bauer. If it's the old Trevor Bauer and he's the guy that showed up in fucking the Cy Young that showed up in Cleveland and fucking Cincinnati, I could see those odds going back to maybe 9-1. I don't think the Mets will never be the favorite to win the division because the Braves are too fucking good.
The Braves are just a disgusting team. I mean, sorry.
Could that be a team that wins, say, 95 games and put themselves in a wild card situation? Yeah. If it's, again, because you got to think you're probably going to get two of the three if somehow he has needs Tommy John surgery. You're going to have to get Montgomery. You're not paying Snell. Snell's not a good pitcher. You're probably better off paying Montgomery and giving league minimum to Bauer.
But like I said, the Mets rotation, if, God forbid, knock on wood, if Kodai Senga goes down with TJ, hopefully it's just tired arm. Could be. I mean, you know, could be just a tired arm and he needs a couple of days to rest up and to get back. Because the guy did show up at camp in the 11th or 12th of February before even camp even opened. And it is spring training. We don't know what he did in the offseason. He might have overworked in the offseason. Nobody will never know unless he comes out and says it. But with that, I mean, you got Sean Manaea, Luis Severino, Jose Quintana, Tylor McGill, David Peterson. You might see around May because of he's recovering well from the hip surgery, and then you have. What's that kid from Mike Vassell and the other kid that I said his name. I can't remember. I'm brain farting on his name. Whatever. There's two. The Mets have two minor league prospects that have a good shot of making this roster. You know, so, but I think what the bottom line is, what I'm trying to say with this whole point is the Mets are going into the season possibly going into the season behind the eight ball like last year. And it might be something Christian Scott, that was the other guy's name, Christian Scott.
Okay.
I looked it up because it was going to drive me crazy. But there is the Mets are going to come into the season with a black eye before pitch is even thrown, just like last year, if Senga goes down.
So it looks like they're already in talks with Montgomery.
The Mets are?
Just to be on the safe side.
And at this point, you know what? I say give him a 2-year deal with a third-year option for – give him a $90 million contract. That's fair market value. Because Jordan Montgomery, if memory serves correctly, that's why I wish Christian were here, because he could back it up, because he's more of the Yankee fan than I am, that when he was with the Yankees, he was good. He went to St. Louis. All of a sudden, he became a little higher. He became a little more top-notch. Then he went to Texas, and then he discovered something in Texas. That's why he's asking for all this mega money now, because he had a good year with Texas, and he won a world title. But here's my thing. Okay, Montgomery, look at it this way. You have a chance to come here back to New York where you started your career, and you have the chance to bring that winning attitude that you take from Texas and bring it here and teach some of these younger guys, look, we weren't given a chance to win last year, and look what we did. That's the kind of person, that's the kind of guy in this team, that's the kind of guy you want in your dugout. Guy that's been there, done that. Scherzer and Verlander, if we had them 10 years ago, last year would have been totally different.
Yeah.
But we're getting a 40-year-old Verlander and a 39-year-old Scherzer. What did you really expect you were going to get out of those two guys?
You were hoping you got something.
And as it stands right now, Scherzer's not going to start the season, and neither is Verlander, because both of them are having arm and shoulder troubles. Yeah, because Scherzer's going to be 40 this year, and Verlander's going to be 41.
And so, they're fucked too. I mean, if anything,
and,
they might be fucked for the year.
And like I said, yeah, it might be very well the truth. But guess what? We're on the hook for both of those guys. But the good thing is,
if Verlander doesn't pitch, Verlander doesn't pitch 60% of his games, we're null and void on that contract.
What I was going to say is, the whole bottom line is this, that if these guys, both their contracts would have come off at the end of this year anyway.
Yeah.
They're both coming off the books. Regardless of whatever happens during the season, they pitch, they don't pitch, whatever. At the end of the 2024 baseball season, we are no longer on the hook for Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander. We don't have to. We could just like wipe our hands clean of them.
And that's when you start seeing Soto talks.
I'm sorry. Now, when it comes to Juan Soto is not going to come to the Mets. Because I saw an article where he's like, this is where I want to be. I like it. I want to be with the Yankees. He said he wants to be here. Could that change if he starts stinking up the joint in April? Very well could.
Listen, in all honesty, his best shit. The AL East for him is home run heaven.
Yeah, especially between Yankee Stadium.
Short porch in the – oh, hold on. No. You have a short porch at Yankee Stadium. You have the pesky pole in Boston. You have a short porch in Toronto. Tampa's just a fucking bomb barn.
Bandbox.
Yeah,
bandbox.
And the only one he might have trouble with is fucking Camden.
Well, you know what? Camden Yards has never been a he bats what, right-handed?
Lefty.
He's lefty. Camden Yards has always been a lefty power thing, because you don't really see too many balls hit over. You don't see too many home runs hit to dead right field.
No, you see
the only guy
to the
that
fucking warehouse.
The only guy I've ever seen hit balls out of Camden Yards hitting from that side of the thing was when Darryl Strawberry hit three bombs over in Camden Yards when he was with the Yankees.
Ripken also liked to go that way.
No, but Ripken hit a lot of his to left field. He hit some to right field, but majority of his home runs were to left field. Some center, some right, but a majority of them were to left field.
His most famous one was the right.
Yeah, that was the day he broke the record.
Yep.
I remember, because I have that game on tape. I have it on tape.
I was watching that game live.
So was I.
I got woken up.
It was against the Angels, if memory serves correctly.
Yeah, I got woken up by my dad being like, you need to see this because you'll never see it again. And boy, was that a fucking rush.
No, and you're right. you know what it is, but unfortunately, and you said it before, there'll never be a player like Cal Ripken ever again to be in the major leagues to play that Iron Man season. There was only one guy that was close, and that was Jeff Conine, but then he got hurt, and then that was because he was the one who had the who's second to him. I think Conine had had like 600 and
Right. Though Soto is the lefty.
Right. So, but it's like, but he was like that. But you'll never see that again. But to break it all down is like the people like the Scott Boris's, the Rob Manfreds. They're, in my opinion, like I said, this is my opinion, not his, not Ronnie's, not anybody else's. In my opinion, they're what's ruining the game. And the fact that Pete Alonso went out and hired this guy to be his agent made me lose about 1% of respect for Pete, because Pete does not need somebody like him, because Conforto hired him, did a lot of good for Conforto. He said he told Conforto work out during the offseason. He ended up screwing up his shoulder, didn't even play an entire year, didn't get signed with anybody until the following year. And now he's still playing catch-up in San Francisco.
Well, good. Thank you for that segue, because I got news about San Francisco.
Oh, it wasn't a direct segue, but go for it.
There, you didn't know about this, so thank you actually for leading me into it. A former...
Dynamite drop-in, Monty.
A former third baseman World Series MVP has showed up to camp, invited by the San Francisco Giants for a possible comeback.
Pablo Sandoval, I did see that.
Yep. Kung Fu Panda is back.
The panda is back, yes. The Kung Fu Panda is back. I saw that, and I said, are you shitting me?
Hey, listen. If he still has power, him as a DH?
Yeah, but when was the last time? Maybe you could look it up. When was the last time he played?
He's been injured though so much though. That's the thing. Let me go look.
Well,
if Kung Fu Panda was in the league,
because I know he signed a big contract with Boston, and then he basically fizzled in Boston. I think it was 2017.
I want to say no, it wasn't 2017. I want to say he was probably around right before COVID, so I would say 2019.
So he hasn't played in almost 5 years. And he thinks he's going to make a comeback now? At what age?
37.
That is mind.
Yeah, well, in a row.
But I'm bumps. See, those broadcasting school classes really worked out for you. But
okay. Who said I went to school?
It's a joke if you get – I know you get
– I know. That's what I said. 2001 was when he last played. He was with the Braves.
I mean, 2021.
21, sorry, 21.
2001, damn it.
So he played the year after COVID.
Yeah, you know, so basically he's looking about 2 or 3 years removed from playing professional ball.
Yeah.
I think this is just his last dish. I'm willing to bet, and I'm willing to put money on this, if he doesn't make it out of spring training with the Giants, he's going to retire.
I bet you they're still going to Pablo. He has no plans to, what did that say? He has no plans to retire. I bet you I'll put money. Yep. No plans to retire. I'll put money on it that no matter what, the minute, unless he doesn't make it out of spring training, unless he literally walks away, the Giants are going to offer him a minor league deal no matter what.
Yeah, but will he be willing to accept that minor league deal?
I mean, if it's to be on standby to get called up, I wouldn't see why not. They're going to put him on the team. Even at 37, I mean, shit, there's better. He's better than some of the veterans that have gotten to. I'd rather take him than Vogelbach.
You know what? I just looked up. I looked at that. Jinmen Choi, that's the guy who the Mets signed to that split contract.
Okay, yeah.
All right, I'm going to pull up the physical stats. So give me a second while I do that about between Jinmen Choi and Daniel Vogelbach, and I want to how scary the similarities are. Hold on, let me see. Let me find.
You got the Asian Vogie then?
If the way I think about it, yeah, you very well could be. Now, let me see. Jim Edchoy is, he is 6 foot one, 260 pounds. Okay, now let me go find, Vogey. Where's he's with Toronto now, right?
Yep.
Good. And you know what? Let me just go off the thing. I never hated Vogey. Was he entertaining? Yeah. But he's Daniel Vogback. Okay. 6 foot, 270.
That had a motor like a piano on someone's back.
What is it? What did I watch? Matt Antonelli, when he used to do his road to the show, he goes, it's bad enough to have to run with a piano on your back, let alone stop just to play it. You know, I mean, basically, we let a guy go who was 6 foot. Choi is what, 6 foot two, 261. He's 6 foot 270. We traded a few pounds at an inch of height, but essentially, it's the same fucking thing. Now, haven't the Mets learned? All right, let's sign almost a near 300-pound guy to play DH. How much can he run? He can't.
Yeah, but
what,
is his hitting better?
Let me see. I'll pull up his stats in a second. Let me pull up Jim Edchoy. So this was his 2023 line. He had 104 at bats, 12 runs, 17 hits, 6 home runs, 13 RBIs, no stolen bases. There's a shocker. 163 RBIs, a OBP of 239, and OPS of 624. Now, Vogey, his 2023. Hold on, let me pull up Vogey again. I just had him up. Vogey's 2023 line was 275, 33 runs, 64 hits, 13 home runs, 48 RBIs, zero stolen bases. Again, what a shock.
Actually, that is a shock. Cause for me, that is, because he actually tried to steal bases at one point.
Yeah, it was like saying, oh, my God, the tremors. 233 batting average, an OBP of 339, and an OPS of 747.
Is that Uncle Fred?
Good old Uncle Fred.
Good old Tugboot.
Good old Shockmaster. It's...
Earthquake.
I could say somebody's name, but I'm not going to.
How'd you get into wrestling?
That's what I'm going to say. But the whole bottom line is, it's basically the only thing Vogelback had, he had a little hand, a few more. Devil's here?
No, he does not. The devil does not come on a wet fart.
I'm kidding. But no, it's like we basically, Vogelback had more at-bats than Jim Edchoy did. But I'm sorry, we're trading one big guy for another big guy. And the whole point is I don't think Choi's going to make it out of the – I don't think he's going to make it out of spring training with the team.
We'll see, because we got to see what happens.
To me, I've said this, and a lot of other Met fans have said this, and then there's another guy on YouTube that I watch. He's called Wardy NYM. I've watched him a lot. I have a lot of respect for Wardy. Wardy's been he discusses the Mets fans as a fan. He tells it like it is. He don't sugarcoat things. He don't like the wet. He's been very critical of the Mets offseason this year, you know, about their moves or lack thereof. When it comes to a DH, I'm going to give the job, the main DH job, to Vientos. Because,
oh, right, but let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
What's our fourth outfield look like?
Let me bring up the outfield. I'll bring up the Mets right now. Hold on. Let me bring up the Mets. The Mets outfield. As of right now, it looks like...
I know we have four outfielders.
The outfield for the Mets is as follows. As of right now, on the 40-man. We have Harrison Bader, Starling Marte, Brandon Nimmo, Alex Ramirez, DJ Stewart, and Tyrone Taylor. Now, to me, they've already come out and said, Mendoza's already come out and said, Bader's going to play center, Nimmo's going to play left, which means, obviously, Starling Marte, if healthy, is going to play right. So your fourth outfielder in that regard is more than likely going to be Tyrone Taylor.
Okay. How good is Tyrone? How good is Taylor?
Taylor, I'll bring up his stats. Taylor, last year with the Brewers, just give me a second. It's coming up. He had 231 at-bats, 36 runs, 54 hits, 10 home runs, 35 RBIs, 9 stolen bases, batting average of .234, an OPB of .267, and an OPS of .713. So he's not a bad fourth outfielder.
So why don't have him DH?
Because here's the thing. The other guy in that I've already mentioned is DJ Stewart. DJ Stewart is more likely going to be platooning the DH role with Vientos, I would think, because that's the only reason the Mets brought DJ Stewart back was to be a DH. Now, are we going to get the DJ Stewart of the last month of the season, or are we going to get just a flop of a guy who's basically going to come in and shit the bed and be done? Because a lot of people are saying, oh, my God, he's a godsend. Yeah, but that was the last month of the season. But you don't know. It's like we've always said, we don't know what we're going to get out of guys once the season starts. Like a lot of people are claiming, oh, Starling Marte's healthy and ready and raring to go. He even came out in an article, Marte was asking, he says, I could play 170 games this year. And I put in a comment, and everybody I put my comment was, I'll believe that when I see it, no disrespect. Everybody liked that comment, and everybody said, he's right. You're not wrong. It's one of those I'll wait and see kind of deal. A healthy Starling Marte is an asset. Granted, he's definitely an asset. But we haven't had a healthy Marte in 2 years. And he's got a year, I think he's got two more years left on his contract. No, one or 2 years left on his contract. So a healthy Marte, you have Marte, Bader, Nimmo. That's a solid outfield of guys that will give their all. And here's the clicker, or the whatever you want to say it.
Kicker.
Thank you. It's getting late. This is gonna be my last point. And then we'll talk the last 10 minutes on evacuation chamber if you want, or you want to bring up your.
I got two more things real quick, but that's not a big deal. Like we can get to it.
We'll get to it. But Starling Marte goes down. There are two young kids that we got from the Houston Astros for Justin Verlander, Drew Gilbert, and Ryan Clifford. Both these kids are fucking dynamos. This is why they were 1 and 3 in the Houston organization in their prospect pool. Gilbert was number 1 in their organization. Clifford was number 3 or 4 in their organization. We have Jet Williams who can play outfield. So we have internal options. I mean, if Tyrone Taylor, from what little video I've seen on him, he's a solid fourth outfielder. He's an upgrade from Mark Canna. He's a little better than Mark Canna was. Not by much, but there's definitely an upside to him. When we got him, I looked at his stats. I'm like, not bad to have as a backup outfielder on your or off your bench. Not bad. You know, better outfield than we've had in years. Bader came into the – I joked with you earlier. If the fans want to look up Harrison Bader, he came into this camp looking like the incredible fucking Hulk. He shacked this kid, this guy. I think he weighs 240 or 250, and it's all solid muscle. He's practically busting out of his Mets T-shirt. Now, will that generate 10 to 15 home runs for us this year? Maybe more, maybe less. We don't know. Because nobody knows.
Yeah.
But what else you got? So
all right.
What are the two things you got?
quick points for baseball, we can move on. Shohei Ohtani is only doing 50 bats at bats for for spring training, and he will be playing. There's no rumor right yet if he's going to be playing at the opener tomorrow. And Elly De La Cruz is in prime form.
Why do you say that?
Because he took batting practice off of Hunter Green, hit a ball to the parking lot, and smashed his window.
His own window?
No, Hunter Green.
Oh, damn. Well, you shouldn't have parked it so close to the field then.
The 22-year-old infielder hit a foul ball over off of Green into the player's parking lot, smashing the car window, and the pitcher is great. It's just both of them standing by the window going, eh.
Sorry, dude. My bad.
Dude, I hope this kid breakout season like he did last year, because holy shit, and there's a video of it? Oh, even better.
Well, let me put it to you this way. I was at a card show this weekend. I was looking for his rookie card. Everybody was selling his rookie card for at least, because it's in the first series of Topps this year. Between
yeah.
$15 to $20 they were selling it for. Already.
He can time out the 100-mile-an-hour pitch already that Hunter's throwing. Oh, that's going to – dude, he's going to fucking be ready. Oh, thank God. I
do you need a cigarette? Do you need a cigarette right now? You're having
what's terrifying about this kid is he runs a 20-second triple. Or no, he runs a 9-second triple. He throws a 99.7 mile an hour throw from short to first. And he hits the ball. He hits the ball a country mile. He's a threat beyond all fucking the definition of the term. He is a triple threat. His arm for defense. Fuck his power. He's got power that's insane, but he can leg out fucking doubles and triples.
But you know what? Here's the thing, too. You also said the same thing about O'Neill Cruz.
Yes, but the difference is something that is not being told to anybody has happened to O'Neill Cruz, that this leg injury that he had is a lot worse than they're letting on. By the way, he was on pace to having a great year in his second season. But it has everything to do with this injury really did fuck him up somehow. Like, because they said it was a simple broken ankle.
No, but I think what they're not letting on, and like I said, this is only speculation on our part. I think there was nerve damage. There possibly could be nerve or tendon damage to that ankle, and they're not letting that on.
And, I mean, luckily he's okay. So he's back in batting practice. So he took live BP today.
I would not be shocked, and you can agree with me or disagree. I would not be shocked if O'Neill does not start the year in AAA this year.
Let's see how he. I got to see how he does when it comes to.
In-game stuff,
yeah. But
would you be shocked? Shocked?
No, not at all. Just to get his feet wet again? No pun intended. It wouldn't shock me one bit. It would not shock me one bit. Now, will he come back and pretty much be immediately back in? Like, I think he would be down there for a month.
Well, I think what you're saying, will he come up and have an immediate impact? No.
No. I think he'll go down. He'll start like the first month of the season back there, and then he'll come back. And then he'll come back to Major Leagues after he gets his feet wet. Like getting back into the, again, no pun intended, the swing of things. until he gets, like, his timing down. Because, obviously, he hasn't picked up a bat in...
It's been almost a year.
Almost a full year.
Yeah.
And now the question is, it's not about his hitting.
It's about how it's going to affect his running.
Exactly. It's how he's going to make the turn.
And, you know, I mean, a lot of people, you know, A, not only running, but this could have, he plays what, second base or short?
Short.
This could affect his short, you know, playing short, too. The reason I say is because you got to be able to plant that foot. You know, how much weight is he willing to, you know, how much is he going to be able to put on that foot? You know, is he going to be able to make that dash to second base for a possible double play? I mean, this could affect his game. I mean, I hope
there's a lot going into this that we don't know. Like they said, like I said, everyone's like, oh, his injury was bad. Yeah, he had a broken ankle. We knew he had a broken ankle. But clearly something was not said to the public of how bad it was. Because I've never heard ESPN comment that there was any ligament damage or anything like that to his ankle.
We want to make it clear. We're not saying the same thing. We're just speculating.
Yeah, we know it's a broken ankle.
No, but I'm saying we're speculating that there could be possibly even more damage.
Yeah, well, nothing was said. That's the problem. Nothing was said.
Right.
And if there was, I didn't see anything. I backed this kid when I first saw him because I was hearing from other places that this kid's going to be amazing. Watching this kid doing other stuff, yeah, he's flat out nuts. Now, with him being hurt, it's now going to be interesting. De La Cruz, though, is a little bit different. This dude seems like he's more built than O'Neill.
Well, let me see. Let me pull up their side-by-sides.
And let me see. Is De La Cruz technically in? No, because he is not in Rookie of the Year because he was in Rookie of the Year last year.
Let me see.
But you want to run through that. Mauricio is on for, was it Rookie?
Well, Mauricio is not going to play this year. De La Cruz is, his stats are, he's 6'5", 200 pounds at 22 years old.
Yep.
And let's see, what's O'Neill Cruz? Let's see, and pull up.
Cruz is like 6'7", 200.
Let me see, O'Neill Cruz, wait a minute. O'Neill Cruz is 6'7", 215.
Yeah, it was close.
So, I mean, they're close in body types, and they're close in weight. But, I mean, it sucks that because his 20 – I'm seeing O'Neill's 2022 line. Well, he only played 30 – he only had 32 at-bats before he got hurt
right.
In 2023. So, I mean, there's – I mean, who's to say? I mean, his 2022 stats are like mouthwatering. 17 home runs, 54 RBIs, 28 walks.
For 2 months of a season?
He had 10 stolen bases. He had 4 triples, 13 doubles. I mean, it's like you'd be stupid not to your mouth water over that. And that's what you spotted about him.
There's more than power with both of these guys.
Oh, totally. You know, and it's like they're both from, I think they're both what, from the Dominican Republic?
Yeah.
I believe so. But it's like, could they be the future of this game? If they stay healthy, they very well could be the next Ken Griffey Jr., Frank Thomas of this league.
Yeah.
They have that kind of potential. And I will say, you ain't going to hear a negative thing said about either one of those guys from my mouth. You have any other? Did you have any other things or no?
For baseball, no.
All right, I have a fact.
I was gonna say, oh, here we go. Here, I got one for you though.
What's that?
There's a bet going on right now on Caesars. What's that? Like I said, Caesars, we this is the guys we use, not sponsored, but please sponsor us. We would love it.
Yes, we would. We'd like to make some bets.
Will a team this year, and we'll talk about this when we do our preview.
Big baseball preview.
Will a team have a 13-game losing streak? At least a over 12 and a half.
Yes.
And if I can guess, the soon-to-be not Oakland A's?
Bingo.
Yeah, I think your money is putting that on them to win to lose 13 games.
And I think if you put $5 on that, you'd probably clean up pretty big on that.
On them, yeah, it's -125. The favorite is there. Now, on the flip side, it's the same thing. Will a team have a 13-game winning streak?
That I believe is yes, and too, and I hate to say, as much as it's going to pain me to say,
Braves.
I think it's the Braves.
I think it's the Braves or the Dodgers. Not even, by the way, not even for the fact that they have Shohei, but that pitching rotation is fucking insane.
You're not wrong, and a lot of people have given the Yankees a lot more credit because of their. Because Juan Soto showed up in camp and is looking great. Stanton came into camp looking fantastic. Judge is completely healthy. Those three guys, if they hit 30 home runs apiece, the Yankees are going to be an unstoppable force in the East. And I don't see anybody topping them in the East.
So Soto right now is 14-1 to win the home run, to be the home run leader.
Right.
Does he pass Judge? Can he outshoot Judge? Because in front of him is Schwarber, Alonso, Shohei, Olsen, and Judge. I still do not, as much as Ohtani is going to be batting, I don't think he's going to hit 30 home runs this year.
And I've said this before, and I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. If I'm the Dodgers, I'm sorry. I'm letting Ohtani rest till he's 100%.
Oh, he's looking like he's going to be starting opening day. I think it's a big
mistake, because if something happens and he screws up his arm again, or if he gets hit, God forbid he gets hit in that elbow. It could be a disaster.
Right.
I'm not wishing that upon the guy, but I'm just saying it could be a financial disaster for the Dodgers.
Yep.
Unless, we've said it all show, unless there's that poison pill. Only time will tell, but
yep.
I have the card up for evacuation chamber. And then
I have the odds up.
All right, I'll say the match, and then you could say the odds.
Go ahead.
All right, we got Rhea versus Nia for the Women's World Championship.
So this is through Bet Online. It's an offshore account. This is the only one that has active odds. Rhea is heavy favorite at -5,000. Nia is +1,000, 10-1. Rhea, I have Rhea.
Oh yeah, Rhea's gonna. I mean, this is her hometown. She's not gonna have her. They're not gonna have her drop the title in her hometown. Even though they have screwed over the hometown favorite in years past, but that's when a certain hey pal, there's a certain guy running.
Kiss my ass.
It's certain running now, but he ain't running shit no more. But all right, then we have the Judgment Day of Finn and
Mommy's
Damien.
Mommy's on top, damn it.
Okay, stop. Judgment Day of Finn and Damien versus Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate for the tag titles.
Judgment Day -2,000. Pete Dunne and Tyler Bates +7-1.
So who are you picking? I'm picking Dunne and Bate.
I think R-Truth fucks over Judgment Day.
Right, and then I see possible match down at WrestleMania between Dunne and Bate against Miz and R-Truth for the tag belt at Mania.
Yeah, I mean, the money would be is to have Judgment Day win and then Truth and Miz take the titles off of them at Mania.
Yeah,
but I think the question is, are you trying to tease now what's the deal with Priest and Money in the Bank?
Right. I mean, there's a lot of speculation of when he's going to cash that in. You know, it's like I've read articles where he's not allowed to, and I don't know. It's like unless he's going to. The only way I see Damian cashing in is if they do a big heel turn, a big swerve where he turns babyface and goes against the Judgment Day and takes the title.
See, my worry is that this terrifies me. Cody wins, and he gets cashed in on.
I don't see that happening. I just don't see it happening.
No, but like originally everyone's like, oh, well, he's going to do it to Seth. I go, I could so see them having him win because it would just be another fucking jab at his father. Where Dusty won it, they took the title away from it. Cody wins it, they take the title away from him. I can so see that being a thing. I mean, granted, yes, it's a big then turn to a storyline. But I think that would be a douche move. I think he cashes in on Seth, though.
Yeah, I think he's going to cash in on Seth which leads me to bring up to the first Elimination Chamber match with the men. Drew versus Randy versus Lashley versus LA Knight. Yeah, Kevin Owens and Logan Paul. First person I think that's getting eliminated in this match is going to be Logan Paul.
By KO.
Oh, definitely. It's going to be something between the two of them. But, all right, what are the odds for that?
All right, so McIntyre's your favorite at minus 2,000. Then Randy Orton at 5-1. Then LA Knight, at 7-1. Logan Paul at 14-1. Bobby Lashley at 20-1. He should be more like 1,000,000-1. And Kevin Owens at 20-1. Lashley's going to get eliminated quick because he's also got the feud with the Final Testament.
Which, I'm sorry, that's a goofy-ass name for a faction, but that's beside the point.
With the final testicle.
The final testicle, yeah. But then, so who's your pick for, Drew?
Who I think is going to win? Yeah, I think Drew's going to win. Who I want to win?
I want LA Knight.
Yeah, I kind of want Logan Paul.
No,
because if you're going to cash in, it looks better for Damian to do it on Seth or Logan.
Right.
I mean, granted, would it be nice if you get Drew and then you have Damian pin Drew? Yeah. Because that's the whole storyline that's going through also. But then I would have liked to see if they were going to do Rock Roman. If everyone's like, oh, The Rock's going to win the title. It would have been better if Priest cashed in on Roman than to me. If that was your swerve, better off having Roman get cashed in on by Priest, because at least then you build a fucking new star.
I have a lot of theories on the whole Rock thing, but I'm not going to. Once we do a WrestleMania, I'll discuss what I think then, but I'm not going to get into that now. But, yeah, I mean, Drew's probably more likely going to come out on top on this one. Who I would love to win is I would love LA Knight to win this.
Yeah.
But, and the last match, which I say for last, but this was kind of leaked out anyway.
Yep.
Is Becky versus Bianca versus Liv versus Tiffany Stratton versus Naomi versus Raquel Rodriguez, who's coming back from injury.
So
this was kind of leaked out already, so what are
Becky
the odds?
Lynch. Becky Lynch is minus 2,000, Bianca's plus 500, Raquel plus 800, Liv out of here should be plus 1,000,000, is 10-1, Naomi 20, Tiffany Stratton 25.
Tiffany Stratton, they're just trying to give her exposure on the main roster.
Well, so Tiffany Stratton is the was there, but Raquel Gonzalez was supposed to be Tiffany Stratton's spot, and Jade
was supposed to be
in the chamber, but they scrapped that.
Which I don't know what the fuck they're doing with Jade now.
They don't think she's ready yet.
Well, the Rumble is she could kind of bluff her way to a Rumble because it's like,
right,
you know,
punch and kick.
You know, L1, you know, type of deal. XX button, XX, and all that stuff. But, I mean, it was we pretty much know it's going to be Becky and Rhea at Mania.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's pretty much a given.
Well, there's already a line out for that for that match too.
But no, but I mean, that's, and here's the thing. If you want to watch it live on Peacock in the East Coast, you know what time it starts?
5 a.m.
5 a.m. on Saturday morning.
Guess what? I'm sleeping and watching it when
on replay.
When I eat breakfast.
You know, I mean, there's, you know, the way my leg has been bothering me, I might be up, I might not, who knows.
So, we also have a pay-per-view tomorrow, TNA.
The Final Countdown.
No surrender. Please surrender.
I'm sorry. And I have a feeling TNA's on their way out.
This is a great card, though. As much as I give it shit, as much as it's given shit now, this is a great card. PCO is minus 300 favorite versus Kron, a.k.a. Who's the fat guy that was in the wannabe... castration. I mean, the Ascension. He was the fat guy in the Ascension. Is Kron.
Connor.
Connor. Yeah.
Connor O'Brien.
Give me PCO.
Oh fuck yeah, the monster. You got.
Give me the ageless. Give me the ageless wonder. That motherfucker needs another run in WWE.
Well, without who in control anymore, we might see it.
Yeah. Another singles match. Josh Alexander is minus 5,000, taking on Simon Gotch.
I got something to say about TNA, but I have a feeling because Josh Alexander wanted to explore free agency.
And apparently resigned.
Well, no. They bumped it. They bumped his contract up. They took the option. They didn't give him the chance to test it. Because his contract included an option, and they exercised the option, not him. So he wanted to leave. From what I've been hearing, quite a few people in TNA want out.
Josh Grisham, Jordan Grace. ABC, I forget who else was on that list.
I know the list. I can't remember. I know Jordan Grace was on that list.
Yeah. Oh, Speedball.
Speedball, Mike Bailey. I swear to God, Speedball, Mike Bailey, and Jordan Grace would be sucked up by the WWE so fast it wouldn't even be funny. Especially now that she has had a...
WWE exposure. And Hunter loves her.
And so does, and everybody in the post-Rumble press conference, they all raved about her.
Yeah.
About her work ethic, how great she looked, the pop she got, and stuff like that. And
we'll get to Jordan because the person she's wrestling, I have thoughts about that I'll keep to myself.
Just say it.
Oh, no. Well, first things first. It's the TNA Knockouts Tag Team title. Oh, by the way, we both agree Josh Alexander's beating Simon Gotch, right?
Oh, fuck. Duh.
Decay is the tag team champions take on MK Ultra.
I know who Decay is. Isn't that Crazy Steve and...
No, this is the women. So it's Rosemary and Jessica Havoc.
Too Young?
No,
oh, Jessica Havoc. Okay.
Versus MK Ultra, which I have no idea who the fuck they are.
Exactly. I have no idea who they are either.
Give me Decay. It's Rosemary. It's Rosemary.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. I've met Rosemary a couple times. That's a scary chick.
right. The TNA Knockouts champion, Jordan Grace, is minus 5,000. Taking on the man of Giselle Shaw. Wait, I mean, what female? Just, no, I said it right. No, the guy. Femboy. Boy. The one that actually got the twigs and berries cut off.
Twig and giggleberries.
Yeah. The one
he's
that
twigless
actually
and giggleberryless.
The one that actually got the surgery. Yeah.
He's a half a Raider. He's a half
the
a Raider Dave. He's a half a Raider Dave.
Yes. The one that got Scott Steiner Rick Steiner almost fired.
Oh, that's the chick?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just because I don't like you, Jordan Grace.
Oh, Jordan Grace, totally. Yeah, but I wouldn't be shocked if Jordan Grace is in there. I don't know what her contract looks like, but I would not be shocked if we saw her back in the East sometime this year.
Yep. I think she's got one more year in TNA.
Unless she can find a way to get fired.
Well, clearly she's putting an hourglass up, so clearly something's going down. All right, TNA World Heavyweight Champion Moose takes on Alex Shelley.
Moose, come on.
No, give me Shelley, because Moose is another one on that list that the only reason he's still in TNA is because of Scott D'Amore. That is the only reason, and that's another guy that's going to get gobbled up by either AEW, because he can go back to Ring of Honor.
Yeah, well, Tony Khan's going, oh, all these guys, if they get leased, are all going to be all elite. I guarantee, I mean, if
Moose started in Ring of Honor. He'll go back to ROH.
If Jordan Grace is cut loose, guaranteed she's heading to the E.
She's going to the E. Unless Scott D'Amore is the runner of R. See, there's where you get the shit hits the fan. If he gives Scott D'Amore Ring of Honor.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The problem is like Ring of Honor doesn't have a TV deal. Where does Ring of Honor even show?
On ROH has their own site, but don't think Scott D'Amore couldn't talk to a few people.
Oh yeah, granted, yeah. But here's the thing: if I'm Hunter, I'm bringing in Scott. I'm finding a place for Scott D'Amore on my fucking backstage somewhere, because. Because here's the thing. There's quite a few former TNA guys that run backstage in WWE. You got Abyss. You got Petey Williams. And I think, he's not in there anymore. He went to AEW with Sanjay.
AJ Styles.
No, I mean, Petey Williams, Team Canada right there. I mean, the relationship Scott D'Amore has with Petey Williams, that's been going on for years.
Yeah. All right. Tag team titles, the Grizzled Young Vets, after leaving NXT. Taking on ABC for the tag team titles.
GSR. Or GS, what was it?
GYV.
GYV, yeah.
Yeah, give guns down on this one. No, American Bullet Club ain't winning this one.
Uh-huh.
And finally, TNA's X Division title, Chris Sabin is +175 dog taking on Mustafa Ali.
Unless they promise Mustafa Ali the world, I don't see it. I see Sabin winning. Unless they promise the world to friggin' Mustafa to get him to sign.
Yeah, I have no
idea. Isn't Nick Nemeth on the fucking show?
As of right now, no.
That's a surprise. I thought for sure he would have been on there.
Oh, good news. We can talk about next week. A Revolution is a Mystery.
What about that?
That's next week.
Oh, AEW Revolution.
Yep.
Okay. But I got nothing else.
Home. There's one other thing that I've not talked about, but I'll just do it quick. The college football playoff got expanded to 12 teams, 5 and 7, which that means that it's the top 5 highest ranked conference champions and 7 at-large participants for the next 2 years, but they're thinking about flipping it next in 2 years to a 7 and 7.
Okay.
Is great. And I think you're going to get some fucking bad. College football playoffs expanding is a good thing. You're going to get all of that. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, well, the jury's out on that. You see, that's something that when Christian comes on, definitely get into more depth about.
It's something cool. It's something that no one. It's just something got approved today. Basketball, there's nothing because it was the All-Star game.
Right.
And by the way, we were talking about LeBron, breaking news, LeBron sitting out tomorrow for the for his game, even though he played in the All-Star game?
Well, like I said, that's why I don't follow basketball. I'm sorry.
I could talk about this, though, this last thing, because we didn't get a chance to talk about it, but Caitlin Clark is officially the greatest scorer in women's basketball, in women's college basketball.
This is not a surprise.
No. But what's terrifying is she is less than 150 points away for being the all-time leading scorer, period, stop.
She'll get it.
And, oh, my God, everyone is flipping out about, oh, well, because she's a straight white female that has a boyfriend that doesn't, it's not a, quote-unquote, leg licker, this, and this. It's like, oh, my God, people, shut the fuck up. There's a quote-unquote podcast that I don't listen to, but that I listened to on TikTok called the Outkick the Coverage.
Right.
There's a guy that used to be the Bowling Green head coach there, and, like, the fact that he's going after, like, the LGBT, he's going after certain players, it's like, dude, shut up. No one knows who you are. Like, I had to look you up. And to know that you were even the fucking coach at Bowling Green. Listen, I know college sports. I ain't that good.
Right.
But I just, oh, fucking A. It's like, holy shit. Yeah, bro, you were...
I am the hype!
No, you're not. But no, with that being said, we can bring this home.
Very cool. Very cool.
But, yep, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, if you like what you heard, you can follow us on all social media accounts under the Nerdport Network. Follow us individually on Twitter at Ethan Riley.
At the Zombie Master.
Oh, Ryan at Stunkhawk STL. Christian at the Daily Blitz 60.
_60_61.
Follow Dustin at nobodygivesafuck.gov. I would laugh if he was in the fucking chat room, if he was in the fucking group right now, just...
Yeah, well, that would be funny, but he's not, of course.
No, yeah, right.
DustyNerfHerder.com.
Also, if you like what you heard, please tell your friends. I am playing through Spider-Man Miles Morales right now and all the other stuff, so I'm going to be posting other live streams in the near future, as well as other things. We are doing a quote-unquote subathon to where we're trying to raise money for us to do cooler things for this network. We're not asking you to give us money, but if you have an Amazon Prime account, you get a free subscription, please. Doesn't cost you a thing because you're already paying for Amazon. Use it on us.
There you go.
Yeah.
Please do.
And if you don't want to see ads, it helps you with that. We're trying to raise at least close to like $2,500. That's 500 subs within a year to do some cool shit over the next couple months.
Right.
But until then, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, if you like what you heard, tell your friends. If you didn't like what you hear, you're fired. Tell your enemies, but until then, always remember to tell them two things. One, Bobby Bonilla is getting paid. Two, Shohei Ohtani will still be getting paid. And three, there is always a teachable moment. And hell, if you don't believe us, fuck it, then it's just a fact of life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good night.